Your On The Mark podcast is loading now. The On The Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On The Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On The Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Welcome to On The Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence taking the day off today. He's in Harrisburg for an event. With me is Steve Kushaloff and our producers, Lynn Hall. On The Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number is 570-743-9565. That's 743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but be sure to include the keyword OTM at the start of your message. As I said, On The Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, and nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. till 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at www.sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials or build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. What does the Sunbury Motor Company sell? They sell Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles, and they're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks. They have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, an alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles. They're a master towing service with decades of experience. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I was about to say, you know, you got two people here who are well into their 70s, and for all this technology to play tricks on us, that's not a good idea.
Well, it's not nice to fool an old guy, somebody turning off the equipment. I'm used to everything being on when I come in here. What I found this morning is Mr. Lawrence, whose obsession with dust is well known around the organization, had covered up everything on this desk with papers to keep dust out of it, and then turned off both the monitors and the microphone console that mixes the mics here. So, but in any event, we've overcome those challenges, and we're here to start the program.
Yes, we are.
And isn't it great that the Biden crime family is finally being exposed for what it is?
The Biden crime family. I just love it. Yeah, you know, I was listening last week for about 30 seconds of your show before I just had to turn it off, and I hear Joe McGranahan talking about $5 million bribes, and I turn on Fox News for about the 15 seconds I can stand to watch that, and here's Congressman Comer with Maria Bartiromo, and Comer is talking about, yeah, we're finding information about, you know, big money and big bribes, and Maria Bartiromo says, how much? How much? And Comer says, oh, $20 million? Might get as high as $30
million. You know, it's amazing, though. You have all this interest in Donald Trump's crimes, and I think he probably may have committed some, whether intentionally or unintentionally, but no interest in investigating Biden and the Biden family and what they may have been up to.
Investigate them all you want. But see, Joe, you're doing the same thing that all your right-wing buddies do. You think
what
you
are me and my right-wing buddies
you
doing?
You are equating Hunter Biden with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a former president of the United States. Hunter Biden is a man who has had a pretty messed up past, has made some big mistakes. Fine. We can investigate him all you want. But the two are not the same. You know, Hunter Biden never tried to blackmail the president of the Ukraine. Hunter Biden did not try to steal a national election.
No, he threatened a Chinese oligarch to send $10 million or else.
Well, that's what I want you to
know. I'm sitting here with my dad, and we want to know why you haven't sent the money.
Where's the evidence? That's the thing.
It's from a WhatsApp thing that was turned in by a whistleblower. You believe every whistleblower whistleblower who comes out about Trump, but none of them who come out about Biden.
We heard him. I heard him this morning as I'm driving up here this morning. I heard this Shapley or whatever his name is.
Right.
And when that gets corroborated, that's
fine.
It was corroborated.
It was corroborated even in the New York Times this morning.
It was mentioned.
It was corroborated by the New York Times.
Corroborated how?
They acknowledged the fact that his testimony was what he said it was, and they independently verified it in their own story.
Okay. Then,
they independently verified it.
Then what we will see is Hunter Biden at some point will be whatever. He'll be tried, he'll be investigated, et cetera.
But part of what they were investigating is the fact that they were flagged off from investigating leads that would have led to Joe Biden directly.
Right. And everything that every indication is that the U.S. attorney who is in charge of this, a U.S. attorney who was appointed by Trump, he could have pursued anything that he wanted.
No, he couldn't. He was denied permission to pursue certain things.
That's
what the whistleblower testified to.
Well, that's what the whistleblower says.
The New York Times independently verified it.
And the Attorney General of the United States, because I know you don't believe him, because now you're going to impeach him, but the Attorney General,
I'm not impeaching him.
Garland has said no, that Weiss, this U.S. attorney, he could have investigated anything he wanted, but he never made such a request.
Well, that's in complete contradiction of what the whistleblower said
and what
the New York Times independently verified.
Right. And, you know, and
your buddies, the New York Times, that left-leaning old lady of the news media who always came down on Trump, now they're looking at Biden and suddenly you don't believe them.
Let's see what happens. Let's see the evidence, and we'll go from there. Because, you know, as recently as May the 10th, the House Republicans said they had no incriminating material about Joe Biden. That was as recently, and that was in the New York Times on May the 10th. The Republicans back then said they had yet to find evidence. So, you know, Joe, you guys are famous for all the smoke
and the story
you can come up with.
IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley claimed that U.S. Attorney David Weiss alleged to multiple witnesses that he was told by the DOJ that he could not bring charges against Hunter Biden in California and Washington, D.C. Attorney General Merrick Garland denied there was any interference in the probe. However, the Times confirmed that Weiss did, in fact, make such claims about the DOJ. But in mid-2022, Mr. Weiss reached out to the top federal prosecutor in Washington, Matthew Graves, to ask his office to pursue charges and was rebuffed, according to Mr. Shapley's testimony. The Times wrote Tuesday a similar request to prosecutors in the Central District of California, which includes Los Angeles, was also rejected. Mr. Shapley testified to that. A second former IRS official who has not been identified told House Republicans the same story. The episode was confirmed independently to the New York Times by a person with knowledge of the situation.
Right.
Does that concern you at all?
It's not, you know, if it was accurate, it would. And I don't know that it is accurate. Number one, you know, you're telling me a story that you showed me the paper, and it says right there, Fox News, across the top of it.
Well, they're reporting the New York Times.
Yes, they are. So this is from the PBS NewsHour. This was just the other day. Republicans had claimed that Merrick Garland denied a request from David Weiss to become the special counsel.
He did ask for that, yes.
Okay. Merrick Garland says Weiss never made such a request. He said, Merrick Garland said, the U.S. attorney has always had the authority to file charges wherever and however he saw fit. And Garland also said that if Weiss, this U.S. attorney, wants to testify before Congress, the Department of Justice will not stand in the way. Joe, all I'm saying is, if there is something there, that's great. Show your evidence and, you know, let's investigate it. Let's do whatever you have to do to Hunter Biden. But, you know, this nonsense where you folks think that Hunter Biden can be equated with Donald Trump. You know, you talk
Joe Biden can be equated with Donald Trump if he, in fact, is soliciting bribes from foreign business people.
If he lied about whether or not his son's involvement.
Well, do you believe he knew nothing of his son's involvement in foreign government?
I have no idea.
Are you curious?
You know, I'm not.
Or do you not
want
to know? No, you don't want to know.
But if it doesn't matter.
But if Donald Trump, you'd want to know.
What? It doesn't matter what I do or do not want to know, because if it happened, it's going to come out. Don't you know? I love how you know the media the right wing. If somebody doesn't go their way, then the media. Well, the media, they're no good. They're dishonest. Merrick Garland. Oh, Merrick Garland.
Bill Barr. Oh, he's horrible. He's a rotten criminal. That's what you guys said on the left. All of a sudden, the attorney general is the epitome of virtue.
You know, people can say whatever they want to say. I can criticize Bill Barr all I want. It doesn't matter, because Bill Barr, when he was the attorney general, he's got all the authority to do whatever he feels he needs to do. Same with Merrick Garland. Same with Hunter Biden, with Joe Biden. Same with Donald Trump. They can do whatever they want to do. And if it's, let's go through the procedures and we'll investigate it. Instead, what you got is wackos.
Let's talk about wackos for a minute. You have Hunter Biden sitting there saying, I'm here with my father. And if you don't, we're wondering why you haven't gone through with the deal as we agreed to. And we're going to make your life miserable if you don't.
And
that doesn't bother you at all. Then that's the President of the United States he's talking about.
That was a WhatsApp communication
okay. to an another person.
And we don't know that Hunter Biden was actually sitting there with Joe Biden. You know, if I had a father who was very influential and I was trying to get money from you, yeah, I might say, hey, Mr. McGranahan, my influential father is sitting right
Bob
here.
Bob Ulinski, 10% for the big guy. That doesn't bother you either.
You know, let's investigate it all.
But we can't investigate if the people who are controlling the DOJ won't allow the special prosecutors or the prosecutors to examine the evidence and to go after the facts where they are.
You've got what you wanted. You got the majority in the House of Representatives. You guys can investigate anything you want to. And so far, this seems to be the same kind of smoke and mirrors that you and Donald Trump tried to spread after the 2020 election.
So Don and I were in this together, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know he's your buddy, but...
You're right. He's not my buddy.
Well,
look, I mean, you know, you guys just don't have any interest in exposing anything that the left does. You look at the pencil neck geek in Washington.
Who's that? when I hear nonsense like that coming from a person I semi-respect anyway. It's like, I'm not going to pay attention to that.
He was removed for the Foreign and the Intelligence Committee.
Oh, yes. He was censured. Because you couldn't impeach him, because I know you would have tried to do that.
Well, why was he censured? Because he lied.
No, because...
Yes, he was.
Because he brought, he brought proceedings against...
He said he had irrefutable proof that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians. Never exposed it, never brought it out.
That's right. You know, and that brings us to the Durham report. Why don't we ever hear about the Durham report and how that's going to blow the lid? Because once again, a lot of smoke, nothing else there.
But Durham testified that a lot of things that were concerning, even though he didn't find the smoking gun. I will admit he didn't find a smoking gun, but still, he testified to a lot of bad things that were going on down there. And the difference between you and me, I think, is that I want to know if Donald Trump did things wrong, and I want him prosecuted. I want to know if Joe Biden did things wrong. I want him prosecuted. I want the investigations to be fair. I want them to be all-inclusive, because I think the American taxpayer, it's owed them. There's a story today that alarmed me no end, that perhaps $200 billion in these funds that Joe Biden was throwing out all over the country were misused and given to people who had no right to them. Doesn't that, that concerns the hell out of me.
Well, and it should, and we're going to see. And, you know, unfortunately, we've got a lot of what were these PPP funds that were distributed after the pandemic, and a lot of those funds were misused. And,
true.
And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of federal funds do get misused.
Well, they shouldn't. Hey, we got to take a quick break. We invite you to join the conversation. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but be sure to put OTM in the first thing you put in the text so that we get it right away, okay? We'll be right back.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Welcome on back on board On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, and along with Steve Kushloff, 570-743-9565. Our toll-free line, or rather, our lines are open. Give us a holler. On the Mark at WKOK.com is our email address. And two people have texted us. They say, first one says, they lie. We know they're lying. They know we know they're lying. We know they know we know they, but still they lie. Okay. And then another one says, Hunter's lawyer publicly stated the WhatsApp text is real. Get informed, guys. So there, apparently his Hunter Biden's own lawyer admitted that that text was correct.
Apparently, according to this guy.
Well, if it's his attorney, you would think his attorney would know.
No, I'm saying if this person, I mean, who knows? Maybe he read this on Newsmax, so that would make it. But I don't know that, so, you know.
And then one of our friends, Tom, has something to say. He says, well, the three blind mice, Joe, Dan, and Mark, got together again in the On the Mark echo chamber. Here, the most lies ever told in succession was presented. A new record may have been set. Record keepers are still poring over the content. Knowing Dan's voting record, he more than likely voted against the legislation that the money for Susquehanna Avenue Project will have to come from. This is talking about Dan Muser. A page from the Republican playbook, which is used often, trying to make Joe Biden look like a criminal in comparison to a twice-impeached, twice-indicted ex-president, was quite amusing from the amuser. He calls Congressman Muser the amuser, okay? Many more indictments and convictions are already on the calendar for Trump and the Republicans. Spending and increasing the debt may never be topped under Joe Biden. We now have $35 a month insulin for all, an infrastructure bill that will upgrade our utilities, roads, bridges, and broadband internet, and the Susquehanna Avenue project. The interview was grossly partisan, but not out of line for the blind mice and On the Mark's MAGA echo chamber.
Oh, gosh.
There's a real...
There you go. The MAGA, the echo chamber. Oh, Joe, don't you feel bad?
Not really.
I know.
Actually, I think that Congressman Muser made some very valid points, you know, and he admitted when I asked him, didn't he think Donald Trump should be looking forward rather than back? And he said yes. His answer was unequivocal, yes.
Yeah, and so, and even the Speaker of the House, Mr. McCarthy, said Donald Trump may not be the strongest Republican candidate in 2024.
I don't think he is, to be honest with you, but that's my personal opinion, and I'm sure I know many of our listeners disagree with me. I think that there are better Republicans who can do what Donald Trump did without the personal baggage and without the insults and the innuendos and the bad stuff that goes along with Donald Trump. That isn't to say that Trump doesn't have his positive sides. I mean, I think he was a good president policy-wise. I know you disagree with that, but I think he was.
I just didn't see a lot of policy. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, if you wanted to speak purely politically, I would think even in the Biden White House, they wonder, if we don't run against Trump, we're going to have quite a fight on our hands if we don't run against Trump.
Okay, Mike from Bloomsburg, you're on the mark this morning.
Yeah, I just want to talk briefly about the economy. I was hoping that Mark would be on. I wanted to apologize to him for being short with him last time I was on, but he's not here. But while I'm talking off the record here, you have a great-grandson. I was sitting in the parking lot waiting to go in to Planet Fitness the other day when he was on, and it just froze me listening to him talk and the music that he played. He's an amazing grandson you have.
Well, I think so, but I'm prejudiced.
Well, I'm an independent observer, okay. And I think I'm correct, and you do too. Hey, listen.
Well, thank you I thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and congratulations to your son and daughter-in-law.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Give them my regards.
I will do it.
Now, thank you. I want to talk about the economy briefly, okay? And it goes with what I was saying the other day. Right now, the United States is not technically in recession. There are some areas of the economy that are in recession, but there's others that are doing much better than people thought they were going to be doing. However, many countries in the world are in a recession, and they're countries that most people put in the same boat with us, England and Germany. And the difference between us and them is, even though this administration is seizing as much control of our economy and our freedoms as they can, those things happened even more in England and Germany. They're in recession because of the fact that their governments control more of the economic system, more of people's freedoms, and they spend more money trying to win votes than we do. And if we continue with what this administration is doing into another Democrat-left administration, not only will we be in a recession, but I do believe we will be in a place that we're not really happy with. You know, God knows what could happen if we can continue on this downward spiral. And that is the point I wanted to make the other day. I think we are in uncharted territory. We have normalized so many things that should not be normal. And in the last couple of weeks, we're seeing that, you know, basically lying, cheating, stealing, covering up malfeasance within our government to protect people has been normalized and supported by what seems to be at least half the population. And those things cannot go on for much longer unless they're corrected. And if they aren't corrected, we will have a major problem in this country. And that's really the point I wanted to make today.
So what do we do?
What do we do?
Yep. What's the solution to that one?
Number one, the Republicans, I think I don't know what it is. But right now, in the last day, it sounded like the war on women meme is starting to be really pushed by the left. Okay, we're taking away women's rights. No one has taken away any women's rights at the federal government. They have turned over the abortion issue to the states. And each state is handling those laws as their voters and elected representatives deem fit. Okay? And so that is the truth. And the reality is, anyone that wants an abortion now can get one, most likely. I mean, there may be extreme cases depending on where they live, how far they are away from help, how much they know about the support system that they could have. They may not be able to get one, okay? But the reality is, the Democrat lefts are making hay out of this ruling, which was leaked from the Supreme Court, by the way. And in my opinion, it should have been very easy to find out who did it. But to me, I don't know that there was any effort done to even try that. And I don't know why not, because let's face it, that was completely wrong. And it not only was it wrong, it was supported. So what voters have to do and what Republicans have to do is they have to understand what they are up against, and they need to employ, I want to say, some of the same tactics as they have, but do it in a manner where they're confrontational, where they defend themselves. They seem to want to lie down and take it, whereas Trump, you know, even though he had shortcomings, at least he put his face out there and said, this is wrong, and this is what I want to do about it, and he got elected.
Well, fair enough.
We need to embrace this mail-in voting thing. We need to spend money on getting people out to vote, and we need to recruit companies to finance that effort, just like the Facebook and Google and all those high-tech companies poured hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into the Democrat effort to not only get out the vote, but to collect ballots.
Yeah.
So we have to do the same. We have to win. Because if we don't and allow this trend to continue, it's going to get worse.
Fair enough. Hey, thanks, Mike. We appreciate your comments, as always. Take care, sir.
Yep.
Okay, 570-743-9565. I think Mike brings up a good point. You know, what is our responsibility in government? We spend, we have all this money. We throw it out there. We don't follow up to make sure that there's a good use of it. I mean, even the bill to extend the debt limit involved clawing back money that wasn't spent for the pandemic, and now it turns out that there's perhaps $200 billion in money, taxpayer money, that was frivolously given away to people who had no right to get it. So now we have to spend all this time, all this energy, all this money investigating so we can bring charges against people, and we probably won't be able to recover the money anyway.
You know, Mike, he talked about women's rights, and then Mike went right, and if Mike wants to call back, that's a good idea. He mentioned about women's rights under attack, and then he associated that with the questions about abortion, and he said at the federal level there's no problem. Well, it doesn't matter to me. As far as women's rights, I don't care if it's the federal government or if it's various state governments. Women's rights are clearly under attack. It doesn't matter if it's a Supreme Court justice or if it's some crazy county commissioner out in the middle of Idaho.
How about it letting trans women perform in women's sports? Well, that's not under attack, though, is it? That's
okay,
a good thing, normal thing. That's,
you know,
a good thing.
So I don't know how we've gotten. How did we get from women's rights and abortion?
Because that's,
to trans
women's,
athletes?
You said we're talking about
that's
women's rights.
Issue.
Women's rights always.
You know, if we want to talk about trans athletes, we could talk about that.
No, we're talking about women's rights. Look at all the effort women put into getting some kind of equity in sports,
right,
and then it's being taken away from them.
Up there's the music.
There's the bell.
We got to stop.
All right, we're going to take a break for the news, but we'll be back with more of On the Mark. We invite you to join the conversation. It's an open phones day. Mark Lawrence taking the day off. I'm Joe McGranahan with Steve Kushaloff. Lynn Hall's our producer. 570-743-9565 is the phone number. On the Mark at WKOK.com. The email address, text us at 70236. This is WKOK, Sunbury, Pennsylvania.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you and welcome back. I am Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence taking the day off today. With me is Steve Kushaloff. Our producer is Lynn Hall. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number is 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Our phone lines are open. We're going to do brief news headlines, but you can give us a call at 570-743-9565. It's an open phones day, so anything you want to talk about is fair game. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street in Sunbury and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles. They are a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks. They have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, an alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles. And they're a master towing service with decades of experience. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, and nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. till 6 p.m., and on Saturdays from 6:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. Taking a look at our news headlines this morning, North Central PA.com is reporting that a man who had been staying at Haven Ministries in Sunbury was arrested after police found out he allegedly had sex with a 13-year-old girl. 23-year-old Dylan Mullen faces felony charges of statutory sexual assault, involuntary deviant sexual intercourse with a person under 16, aggravated indecent assault with a person under 16, corruption of a minor, and misdemeanor in indecent assault of a person under 16. He remains in Northumberland County Prison in lieu of $100,000 bail. Sunbury police say they received a call on June 24th about the alleged rape at the shelter, and Mullen admitted to having sex with the girl either on June 5th or June 12th. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for 9:30 a.m. July 18th at the office of District Justice Michael Toomey in Sunbury. A Lake Tobias Wildlife Park employee was gored in the leg recently by a bison during a safari tour bus ride. Penn Live reports that the animal struck 19-year-old Riley Blanchard at around 1:30 p.m. June 17th while she was giving a tour to 40 or 50 passengers. She has been working for the Dauphin County Wildlife Park near Halifax as a safari tour bus driver for two seasons. Halfway through the 45-minute-long safari ride, Blanchard stopped the bus to speak to passengers about a large bison that was standing nearby. As Blanchard stood on the steps while engaging with passengers, the bison approached her and she reached out to pet it, and then it gored her, causing her to fall out of the bus. Blanchard, who was advised by her doctor to stay out of work for 2 weeks, says she's looking forward to returning in July. When contacted, a park spokesman said the situation has been resolved. The Philadelphia Inquirer is reporting that five of Pennsylvania's eight Republican representatives in Congress have endorsed former President Donald Trump in his 2024 bid for the White House. U.S. Reps Mike Kelly, Dan Muser, Guy Reimenthaler, John Joyce, and Scott Perry officially backed Trump on Friday and now constitute the Pennsylvania federal leadership team, as Trump's campaign has dubbed his Pennsylvania GOP supporters. Well, there you see, that's good news, isn't it? All these congressmen lined up to support President Trump.
All these Republican right-wing congressmen. You know, one of the things our caller brought up, he mentioned about women's rights under attack, and he attached it to abortion. Okay, that's certainly up for debate. But, you know, I think in some ways, I think family rights. And one of the things is the high cost of child care. I think Biden has included assistance with child care in his various legislative proposals. I don't believe it's gone anywhere. And so what we see is women, because they tend to be the ones who are charged with taking care of the children, women are essentially economically forced to stay at home with the children and don't have the opportunity to go out and work because the cost of child care is exorbitant.
Well, it is that. There's no argument there. But, you know, the question becomes, how much does our government owe us? How much are we supposed to, every time we have a problem, is government the answer?
Well, Joe, that's, you know.
That's a yes or no question, Steve.
No, it is not a yes or no question.
Yes, it is.
You are taking the big picture look at things, which is not inappropriate. You have to do that sometimes. And your question is certainly a valid question. But if you're going to ask how much help, because that was your question, how much help is the government supposed to give
every
us?
Every time we have a problem.
Well,
what problems should the government solve for us?
Okay.
What problems should we solve for ourselves?
All right, Joe. Well, the first thing we got to do, we got to start listing the potential challenges, the potential problems. And let's, you know, my gosh, that could take the rest of the day.
Can we accept the fact that in life some people will succeed and some people will fail?
Oh, for a Pete.
No, seriously, can we?
Of course we can.
It seems to me like you want to give everybody a participation medal, a pat on the back. As I've said before, the Democrats want to give people a handout. Republicans want to give them a handout.
People a hand up. I hear you, Joe.
Okay, we have two texts and we have a caller. One of our texters says, does anyone think Biden is the strongest Democratic candidate? Well, there's a good point. And then, yes, Hunter's lawyer said the WhatsApp message is real. He tries to excuse it by claiming Hunter was drug addicted when he sent it. Well, there's a good excuse. The dog ate my homework. Dan, you're on the mark from New Berlin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, last night on the national news, they brought up the fact that it was on a lot of social media sites that January 6th protest was going to happen. And it was totally ignored by, you know, everyone except, remember, President Trump called the Capitol building couple days before to warn them there might be a problem January 6th, but it was completely ignored. And here's my premise on that. They wanted it to happen. They wanted that to happen, the left wing, so they could keep blasting the MAGA, what they call the MAGA Republicans. And they're even trying to connect President Trump in one of their future, but they're trying to connect him with it so they can convict him of a crime. And what it shows me, it was all a planned protest again, so they could have this propaganda, which you can hardly watch the news any night, that they don't bring up January the 6th, how they're convicting this person, that person, for simply some of them, all they were doing was being in the Capitol building without hurting anyone. So there you have another planned incident that should have never happened. It wouldn't have happened if the people would have been doing the job the way they should have been, because also it was well known.
Also wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump had come out right away and said, please go home peacefully. But he didn't do that. It took him several hours.
And several days before January 6th, he put out some kind of a message and said, it's going to be a wild time in Washington on January 6th. He didn't try to warn about anything. And
yes, Dan,
you know, I just so appreciate when you call. You're a great caller. But boy, oh boy, you just take the cake when it comes to conspiracies. This is a little far-fetched even for you.
No, not at all. You look at the evidence. Look what's showing. And President Trump called 2-3 days ahead to Pelosi, Schumer, and they refused to do anything about it. That was their responsibility. And there's no way you can pin this on President Trump. What you're trying to do, because they just want to get something on him, they want to get him out of there.
Then why did he wait so long?
We're not dumb enough to fall for the line. There's no conspiracy.
Dan.
And I think even Joe can see that he has his eyes open, that they had plenty of warnings.
Dan, why didn't he act more quickly when he saw it had gotten out of hand then? Assuming you're right, why didn't he act more quickly? Why did he wait several hours?
You know, that's a question you have to ask Trump. It was out of his hands by that time.
No, it wasn't. He could have come on and said, listen, I appreciate all you're doing for me, but this is not right. Go home. Be peaceful. He didn't do it.
He told him on ahead, march down peacefully.
Maybe he did, but then when he saw...
What more can you say?
Well, a lot more if you saw that they weren't doing it. A lot more. You could have said, this is not what I intended. I didn't want you folks to go in there and beat people up and beat people over the head with flagpoles and get shot.
He didn't know what was at that time till
it
happened.
Oh, yes, he did. You just said he knew what was going to happen, and he warned them days ahead.
He did. He warned them.
Well, then if he knew what happened, why didn't he stop it?
He didn't know how bad it was going to all happen on the inside. He did. He told them, march down peacefully. We know the MAGA people did, but the infiltrators, the ones that infiltrated the mess, FBI, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they're the ones that stirred the riot up.
Okay, well, fair enough. That's what you believe, and you're entitled to that. Listen, we've got two more calls, so we've
got
to move on.
It doesn't matter what I believe. It's what's the truth, Joe. We have to get back to the truth on these matters instead of letting a Democrat tell you what to think. Think for yourself.
Well, I think we got to move on. I think if I were thinking for myself, I would think that Donald Trump could have done one heck of a lot more to stop what became a bad situation. I know if I were in the White House and I saw my supporters doing something I didn't intend for them to do, I'd be out there doing everything I could to stop them the moment they were doing it. Okay, Bob from PacSinus, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Trump
he's a mafia king anyway. He liked that happening down there at the Capitol, and I don't even think it's fixed up yet anyway. All the millions of dollars they got to pay to fix it. But the reason I was calling was you were saying about these people in working and health care and stuff like that. Well, until people get paid at least $15 an hour, they're not going to be able to afford to pay for child care.
I don't think you can afford to pay.
Because they're probably charging $10 an hour. I wouldn't watch a kid for less than $10 an hour.
I think you'd be lucky if you could find any kind of child care for $10 an hour today.
Exactly. That's why the government has to help these people to get on their feet.
But why? You know, how long do we help them?
Well, because that's how it works.
Well, how what works?
When you're a very low-income people, you are entitled to benefits.
Whoa. Entitled? Who entitles you? Who entitles you to this?
The government.
Under what law? I'm not familiar with any
welfare.
Law.
It's called welfare.
You know, Joe is in a very philosophical mood this morning, Mr. McGranahan, which is great. We appreciate that. But, you know, Joe, sometimes you got to make some connections. For instance, if the government were to provide some assistance so that parents could better afford child care, that would mean women would find it much easier to get into the workforce. That would mean you'd have more people working. That would mean you'd have more people paying taxes.
And yet when people tie working to welfare, who opposes it? The liberals.
We're not talking about working
yes,
welfare.
Yes, we are.
We are talking about providing
assistance. If it weren't for the liberals, we won't have welfare.
I agree with you there.
If it wasn't for the liberals, we wouldn't have Social Security, we wouldn't have Medicare, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you'd be on your own. We'd all be on our own, period.
Well, I'm not debating that there's some good social programs. I'm just asking the honest question, where do we draw the line? If we find every human need and we say government should provide the solution for every human need, 55,000 of us have this problem, therefore we got to solve it. For example, let me give you a good example. People who live in floodplains, you know, they know when they built there, it gets flooded. They live along the beach and the hurricanes are coming in. And yet every time we declare a disaster and we fund them, we give them money. At some point, choosing to live there, why should the rest of us support their decision?
Have you seen what it costs?
You're not answering me.
Have you seen what it costs to buy flood insurance?
I have, and it's expensive.
It's expensive.
So what do? Do you continue to live there?
If you want to live in a floodplain and pay those huge amounts of money for flood insurance, okay, that's fine.
But if you don't pay for it, why should I be on the hook to bail you out?
That isn't what's
happening.
Usually
you aren't. Usually you are not. The only thing that government ever comes in and pays for are their furnaces, stuff to get them back up in a living environment. I knew somebody that lived in a flood zone. They chose to live there. The floods would come up almost to the first floor, and the only thing the government would give them was a new furnace or maybe a pump or something like that for the well. Nothing else. And they didn't have flood insurance, so they ate it up. They're on their own, and this is in Sayre County.
Well, I'm not familiar with that, but I know the government. What happens when the government declares all these disasters? They're sending all this support, all these people in to adjust claims and to give them money. What is that then? If that's not just
that's
to get them a furnace,
that's if they have the flood insurance.
No, the flood insurance is handled by private enterprise. It's not handled by the government in most cases.
I think, and I don't know much about flood insurance, but I think Bob is right. It's only for pieces of your home, whatever, that are attached to the home. So if your couch floats away, the government's not buying you a new couch.
All right, well, then let's use this analogy. Let's say car insurance is incredibly expensive. That, you know, I can't afford it. Should the government subsidize my car insurance?
I don't know. Is it that expensive?
For some people, it is. As Bob says, for low-income people, it's terribly expensive.
You know,
well, it goes by your driving, your age, and stuff like that.
Partly.
You know, I'm like 55 and, well, a little bit older, but I still pay almost $70 a month for full coverage for two cars. So that's like, you know,
I need to know who your insurance agent is. I pay more than that. So.
Well, you need to go to State Farm.
Okay.
But, and another thing that people don't know, people on welfare, they're eligible if they don't have transportation to get to work. The government will give you $500 to buy a car.
What kind of a car are you going to get for $500 today?
Well, yeah, not much. It's something to get you to and from, and that's about it until you get, you know, your first or second paycheck.
Well, for how long, though? A $500 car doesn't sound like something I'd want to depend on for a very long period of time.
Well, you don't want to work too far away from home.
No, I agree with you. Hey, Bob, we'll give you the last word.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Biden is doing the best he can, and Biden 2024.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Always appreciate your calls. Take care. Okay, we got to take a quick break. We have a call, Joe from Sunbury, hanging on. Joe will be with you in just a minute as soon as we take a required break here. You're listening to On the Mark on WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Okay, welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Steve Kushaloff. Our producer is Lynn Hall, and Joe from Sunbury is on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, you were talking about, you and Steve and a few, we're talking about rights and trans rights and such, but I want to ask Steve mostly, but Joe, but if you could just try, because I have a limited time, to get like a yes or no answer. I know it's hard, but Steve, would you take away rights away from one group to give rights to another group?
You know, Joe, that's...
Here we go.
I'm not going to give you a yes or no question.
Okay, then go ahead and explain why you don't want to do that.
Okay, thank you. Because it depends.
But you're going to eat up my time, and I'll never get to the point I want to make.
Okay,
because
that's fair.
Am I at 3 minutes? You have the rest of the day or whenever you can.
You're right. 15
seconds. So go ahead. I know you don't want to.
15 seconds. It depends what the groups are. If it's this group and they are.
Okay, let's leave it there. I get that part. I understand. You have a point there. So let's say the one group in 1858... owned human beings as slaves.
Okay.
And another group was called an abolitionist. So one was fighting for the release and seeing the humanity of these people, and the other seeing them as maybe livestock, just to make it brief, right?
Hmm.
So those two groups.
Mm-hmm.
What would you okay the rights to be taken away from the people that believed in slavery against the people that believed in abolition?
You know,
let's use those two groups.
Right,
quickly.
That's not a bad example, and I will tell you, I would.
You would but fight for the abolitionists, right?
I would, right, but it wouldn't
equally.
Work. It would not work. That's why we had the Civil War. It would,
right, I agree. So now there's a group of trans that are demanding rights. I think you're trying to say in the discussion with Joe. So there's a group. Definitely what I call women, and one of the leaders of this group is, her name is Riley Gaines, who actually competed in a swimming event against Leah Thomas. And one group, she has a following, and Leah Thomas has a following, and one group against the other. So who would you support in the group where a woman is, the best woman is being beaten by a less-than-average man in a competition for notoriety and money for scholarships? So who would you side with?
That would have to be really studied. I'm not going to tell you.
I mean, we only have 3 minutes, brother.
Bring
it on.
It doesn't have to be really studied.
No, it sure does.
You can proselytize for the next 20 minutes if you want to.
It's inherently unfair to force a woman to compete against a genetically superior man, no matter what the man calls himself.
Okay.
Because you can't pin people like him down to an answer. Well, I answer this, and I think Joe McGranahan answers it quite quickly.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Here we go. I'm not done, but go ahead.
Again, let's say you got two groups here. You got a group of people who, for whatever reason, want to change their gender, and you got another group on the side who says, we're not going to provide you any kind of medical insurance or anything like that to change your gender. Now, which group would you
side with? That's a key word.
Which group would you side with? Let's say the insurance industry says, we are not going to include gender-affirming
now
change.
You're getting in, okay, I understand what you're saying, but you're getting into a thing of profitability, right? I mean, the insurance company isn't out to service people that can't pay exactly, are they?
Sounds like
now
you
you're
are
not using a good. Now you said that I use some good examples. I don't think you're using a good example there.
And
so
you have
refine
done
it and maybe go somewhere else. Or I might be wrong. So go ahead with yours.
All I'm saying is I think you're doing a real good job of evading my question. Well done.
No, I'm saying that's a whole different thing about profitability.
Well, all I'm saying is
insurance company. That's what I'm saying. I'm picking yours apart as you agreed with mine.
Right. And I remember in the Olympics many years ago, they used to talk about the East German, that the East German athletes
were men, right?
Had undergone gender
changing. Let's go through this again. My 3 minutes, tick, tick, tick. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying there is merit to your question. I agree with that.
Oh my!
I will give you that. That's about it, Joe.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that's all I'm going
to
give you. I'm going to say you have some merit.
You have people that are pro-life fighting for a baby that they think that we think and they is alive. It's something alive. And then it's people like you that fight for women's rights to kill that. That's the real issue, because that is life and death.
And what if the child inside the woman has already died?
Well, no. Well, that's not life and death situation anymore.
But the doctors can't go in and remove it, and so now you've got a woman carrying a dead fetus.
Of course you're not sure because it doesn't meet with
what you think.
What?
You don't agree with me because it doesn't agree with what you think. I've had enough doctors tell me that there have been cases of women who were...
You or you read it somewhere?
Oh, I read it somewhere. Well, I didn't read it on Newsmax.
Clarification, that's a big difference.
Look, gentlemen, I think that there is an argument to be made on either side of this issue. But the thing that bothers me is that you're talking about something, when you get into abortion and try to use that as a reference point for anything else, it's invalid because there will never be reconciliation between the two sides on this. Never. There is no common ground.
It's not invalid.
Okay, we'll give you the last word, Joe.
All right, well, I just say... That first question, would you take basically, do you take sides? Because when you take rights and give them to someone, you're usually taking that right just as the slavery against abolition and trans rights against, you're taking rights away from one and giving it to another. And we would like the right for the baby to live.
Fair enough.
If you disagree with that and you think that has no basis, the condition of life and death rather than slavery and not slavery, which was overcome to a certain degree, even if we had to fight the Democrats tooth and nail all the way through Jim Crow in 1965 and all that. But anyhow,
wrap it up,
if,
Joe.
At all possible, beautiful here in central PA today.
Okay.
Everyone, think about some things deeply.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. I'm sorry. We got to go. Let's see. We have a call pending, and we have to take a break in a few minutes. But one of our emailers says, Joe, which one of those people at the Capitol, and they're asking me, not Joe that's just on the phone, which of those people at the Capitol were listening to a radio transmission, even if Trump acted immediately? They were blocks away from where Trump was speaking, and he was done before the chaos ensued. It was a moot point at the time, those whom breached the Capitol. Well, yeah, except that Donald Trump went back and was sitting in the White House kitchen or dining room all afternoon when people were coming in urging him to say something, to stop it, to do something. If it had been me, I'd have gotten in my car and driven down there and stood in the doorway and said, stop. This is not what our republic is for. This is not what we should be doing. Okay, that's one. We have a text that says, hey, Steve, women are being erased by the left. The radical trans movement are invading every space occupied by real women.
Yeah, there we go. All the women in America are going to be replaced by transgender people.
Well, I mean, in sports, that's what's happening.
Every one of them. And every one of them. I mean, you know, you look at the WNBA, the basketball, and none of them are real women, are they, Joe? They're all men disguised as women. Very good. Boy, you nailed it.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
But I know what you're thinking.
And one of our emailers says, perhaps the very things you don't like about Trump are the very things that make him effective in battling the unelected swamp and leftist media. Someone not as brazen and outspoken with less confidence could never endure the attacks and the barrage of false and misleading accusations that confronted Trump from the day he announced his candidacy. You may wish Trump had a more subdued demeanor, but it's quite likely his administration would have been less effective and more often paralyzed by indecision, by fear of being disliked. Trump doesn't care, and that's what is necessary and refreshing to many people. That's a good point.
Trump doesn't cave, except there is one thing. He said someone, he could never have endured the attacks and insults. Joe, you keep taking it off the screen.
I'm sorry.
I can't read it.
Well,
the only thing is
I just read it.
Okay, thank you. And I should have committed your words to memory. Anyway, you know, from the day that Trump first started campaigning, he was attacking, he was insulting. So let's not say that, you know, Donald Trump was just all, happiness and unicorns and rainbows, and then the left started to attack him. No, he started to attack from the day he started. I will never forget, there's a major election year get-together of Catholics in New York City.
The Al Smith dinner.
And normally what you get there is you'll get the two people from opposing points of view, the two candidates, and they'll come on and they would, in a very lighthearted way, they'll
right.
Donald Trump took the Al Smith dinner and turned it into an attack on Hillary Clinton, an attack that actually, after a while, people in the audience started to boo him. So don't tell me that Donald Trump was all this Mr. Good and Mr. Nice, and then the left started to attack him. Donald Trump started his attacks and his insults from the very
day he started.
Well,
and Hillary started her attacks, a basket full of deplorables. What about her attacks?
It was not from the very beginning of the campaign.
So, in other words, then the fact that she attacked him,
all I'm telling you,
if she had been first, then it would have been bad. But because she wasn't first, that's okay.
Well, you know, okay, so they were both attacking, which isn't good. But here we go. Of course, we got the how-to-ism, Joe, which you're pretty good at. But all I'm saying is don't tell me that Donald Trump's crazy personality was formed by the left who attacked him.
It certainly was exacerbated by the attacks he had. Well, no one ever treated him fairly. From day one, Hillary was saying he was an illegitimate president.
You know,
remember her saying that, don't you?
Yeah, and me and a lot of other people agreed with
it. Yeah, okay.
Because you're saying he wasn't, he was treated fairly, and he was treated, you know, we all thought when he got in office, we all hoped, okay, he's been elected. Now let's just see him become a president.
Right.
When
Hillary's saying he's illegitimate, of course, that the left all decided, well, we'll give him a chance. But Hillary said he's illegitimate.
Was that on day one?
Yeah, that was pretty much on day one.
I don't know that it was on day one, Joe.
Al, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Well, Trump never had a honeymoon, but that's not why I called.
Okay.
I called on a serious matter. You guys are getting all pulled left and right on these distractions. But the last Civil War was fought over human rights. And that human right came from our Constitution with the inalienable right to be a free-born American. Well, we have 64 million reasons to start a Civil War right now. And if we don't straighten up, there will be a Civil War because we're falling for the distractions. But remember how this country was made. It was made with God's rules in place, and that's why we've been so blessed. But after a certain point, all the distractions are going to go away, and one of these days we're going to say, we got to quit killing our babies. We've already killed 64 million. When are we going to stop? And I only feel that way because my Lord tells me that as soon as that spark of life and the egg and that sperm come together, thing has a spirit and a soul. And when you pull it out of a woman, you're done.
Okay.
Unless it's dying in the womb or stuck in the fallopian tube or, you know, a medical emergency. I had a sister that they told my dad, oh, you ought to have, you got to abort this baby. It's either going to be the mom or the kid. And she's alive now. And she's one of those people that you were talking about.
Yes, you've told us that
story. She needs a little help. Buying a cheap car. We didn't buy a cheap car. She saved her money, had to buy a cheap car. She's one of those kind of people, but she would put here for a reason. I love her. I help take care of her. She does what she does, and she's alive, and my dad didn't listen. And I think, you know, if that's what our country was standing for, we are not standing for that anymore.
Okay.
And that's the point. That's the point.
Okay. Thank you, Al. Appreciate the comment.
Bye.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemarketwkok.com. Text us at 70236. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Steve Kushloff. Lynn Hall's our producer. Joe from Sunbury wants 1 minute. You had six. We'll give you one more, Joe. Go ahead.
All right. Just something about Al's call is very good, but one parallel between these Al said about human rights and the Constitution. Dred Scott, I believe, made slavery legal, right? The Dred Scott civil right.
It upheld elements of slavery and it upheld the fugitive slave laws, yes.
Okay, so then we in our generation see the same thing as Al said, a new civil war. The same thing, Roe v. Wade was a Supreme Court decision that enshrined the killing of a baby in the womb, right? So that's they were both about human rights, and the Civil War was about human rights also. But the parallel now that we have to live with, and like Al said, the new Civil War is about killing and taking away. So the one book that I read does say choose life. So you think on what side you want to choose, so you are known by your fruits. That'll be it for me.
Okay,
you guys
fair
have
enough.
A good day.
Thank
Get
you.
Callers.
You too. Yep. Take care. All right, our phone number is 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemarketwkok.com. Text us at 70236, but be sure to put the words OTM or the letters OTM ahead of it. So we found we usually wind up back at abortion at some point. People bring it in, but we were talking about, when we started this thing, the government involving itself in our lives. Is any rule about abortion, is that an intrusion of the government in our lives? Is it an intrusion in our lives for the government to do so many other different things, to set federal criminal statutes? I mean,
what's the government supposed to, what is the government even there for?
Well, I think primarily the function was to protect us from foreign enemies.
Okay.
You know, and to see that we had fair elections and a strong central government. Although not originally, a strong central government was considered evil.
Right. And right now we've got the government building a major highway interchange, whatever, in our very own area. Apparently, you don't think the government should be doing that.
No, I do think government should be doing that. That's one of the things they should be doing.
And what is, it has nothing to do with foreign governments. Nobody's going to attack us.
Nobody. There was no means to pave roads back in when the Constitution was put out there, except putting down stones or corduroy roads or something like that. You know, we have to say that the Constitution is a living and breathing document. It's been successfully modified over the years when it needed to be. Very few amendments for all the years it's been in place. So there are certain things that government's responsibility should do.
Right.
Your hero, Thomas Jefferson, didn't want a strong central government. If it were up to him, you Democrats would be exactly the opposite party. You'd throw him out of the Democratic Party today.
He was not a monarchist.
No, but he was opposed to a strong central government. He thought it would lead to tyranny.
Right. Okay, so that's another issue, and there are still people, my goodness, who are concerned about that, all these states' rights people that are concerned about that. You know, the whole thing is, and no, I sure as heck don't believe the government should be doing everything for us, and one of my heroes was an absolute advocate of that, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton talked about opportunity. He said that's what the government should be providing, is opportunity. And Joe, you know, you like to make these blanket statements about, oh, the government should not do this, should not do that. And I'm trying to make the connection that in some of these cases, when the government does do something that does directly benefit a segment of the population, it is doing it because it sees the benefits that will accrue to the society at large. And I hate to get onto this because I asked you to stay away from this, the whole college loan thing. It is to the benefit of the society as a whole.
No, it's not.
if we have an educated public.
And that's the only way to educate them is we give it to them. After they agreed to borrow the money, after they sign loan agreements, we should say, oh, forget these loan agreements. Forget the fact that you promised to pay this back.
Then why do we even provide public education? Why do we even have high school? Why do we have elementary schools? What does the government think it's doing? Teaching kids to read and write? That's terrible.
No, but that's a uniform thing that we give to everybody. And it's required that you attend school for at least a certain period of time. Even the Amish have to go for like eighth grade or something like that. So, yes, there is a benefit to having an educated public, having them be able to read and write. Mm-hmm. That's to everybody's benefit. But how many people, how many Bolivian art experts do we need? How many?
Who's talking about Bolivian art?
That's what
experts.
People go to school. They get these degrees. They can't earn
Every
a living.
One of them.
They can't earn a living with the degree they got.
I used this example before, too. I asked you what you studied in college.
It was history. How would I make a living at that? Had I stayed in history, if I didn't teach it, where would I make a living? If I'm not a good writer, I couldn't write history books. Who would read them?
You might have been a tour guide in a museum.
Tour guide.
You know, I studied communications. I was in broadcasting for a short while, and then I got out of it.
Paid for your education?
My dad.
Okay.
Because it was like
Should you get your money back?
For the whole year. And anyway, Joe, see, this is why I really didn't even want to bring up this whole college
you brought
loan
it up.
Thing. I know, and I'm suffering for it, and I'll beat myself for the rest of the day for that mistake.
We got to take our final break. We have emails and texts to read, and the phone line is open. 570-743-9565.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door.
And some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Steve Kushloff. This afternoon, it sounds like there's going to be a great Steve Jones show, so you're going to want to catch that this afternoon. Steve's a great guy. He's always fun to talk to. Steve, and this is to you, Steve, you never answered caller Joe's question. Is it fair for a man to compete against a woman in sports? You said you need to study it more. What's to study? That's why our world has separate categories of sports. One is for men, one is for women. What's your answer, Steve?
Okay, what's the sport? How about if the sport is horse racing? Can we say that in horse racing we're allowed to have even transgender men compete against women in horse racing?
Well, there is no women's horse racing event. There's no race where only women race their horses.
But we have women jockeys.
Okay, but this is an instance where we're talking about women's sports, women's basketball, women's, swimming, things where women have struggled to get equity, to get the same benefits men get. And now we're talking about putting transgender men into women's uniforms and having them compete with the women. That's not fair.
How about ice skating? What if a transgender man changes his gender to female, is he allowed to participate in ice skating with women anymore?
Why would he have to change his gender? They can compete now.
Joe, hey, come on, Joe. I'm looking for a yes or a no answer. That's all that's accepted today.
Well, I think if it's going to be women's sports, it should be biological women. You know, there was a story this morning we didn't get to. A college fired a biology professor for teaching that sex was determined by chromosomes X and Y. They fired him for that. He taught it for 20 years, but now the woke crowd came in and said, oh, this is bad, and they fired him. They fired him.
And
for teaching science, well-accepted science.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Joe, the right wing has been denying science for as long as it's been around.
What science is the right wing denying? Name me a scientific fact the right wing denies.
How about COVID-19 vaccinations?
I don't deny it. Don't say you people. I got my vaccine and got every one of them.
Okay, well, here's to you. So in one of these sports in the Winter Olympics is ice dancing, right? And
right.
we have men and women. It's very beautiful. They're couples. They go all over the ice.
Right,
okay, suppose one of those men decided to change their gender to female.
Well, who are they going to dance with? Are they going to dance with a man?
Maybe.
Or are they going to dance with a biological male or a female?
Well, they might dance with a biological female. What difference would that make?
Well, it would make a big difference.
Why?
If it's ice dancing, I would think that they could get away with it probably more easily there than some other sports.
And
right.
So, that's the whole thing. Some sports more easily, other sports less easily.
One of our texters says, gee, Steve, you are extreme.
Yeah, this guy's been texting all morning. And
who are those doctors, Steve? A dead baby that died in the womb? Naturally, removing it would not be an abortion. And then another one, texter, says, I agree, Joe. Why should the government pay damages for people that choose to live in a floodplain? Stupid choices shouldn't be subsidized by the government.
It's the same texter. It's not a different texter.
Okay.
It's the same text. Well, I think he said it was different. And then he finally ends up by saying, the true Mafia Don is the leader of the, in all caps, the Biden crime family.
Or Dementia Joe, as he's better known.
Or Dementia Joe. There you go. How about weightlifting? How about a man wants to change his gender to female, should he be allowed to participate in weightlifting against women? Okay.
No.
So there is some variation there. We got ice dancing, we got horse racing, we got weightlifting.
And well, ice dancing doesn't matter because it's not two men dancing together or two women dancing together.
Well, maybe it could be.
But that's not the way it's set up. Ice dancing has always been two people. Whether they're two men, two women, I don't think there's any advantage there.
Let's see. What's another sport? How about coordinated swimming events? Is that what they call it? No, the coordinated
synchronated swimming.
Synchronated swimming. Okay. So we got a man and a woman, and the man wants to change his gender to female.
But there is no women's synchronated. I guess there is at the Olympics, isn't there?
There you go.
Okay. So, all right. So we put a man in there.
Golly.
What would the advantage a man had over a woman in synchronized swimming?
I have no idea, Joe. But all I'm saying is this idea that
Let's skip to sports that actually are relevant. Women's basketball. Should a man be allowed to play in women's basketball? A biological man who's transgender be allowed to play in a women's basketball league? Yes or no?
Yes.
He should be.
Have you ever played basketball against a woman? Have you ever played basketball against a woman who was pretty darn good at basketball?
But it's the women's basketball. They work to get it. They work to put it together. They work to make it happen.
All I know is this. When I used to play noontime basketball, when I was a little younger and better fit, a couple of times there were a couple of women who would play with us, and boy, they could play circles around me. So there you go, Joe.
All right, but that's you. You're not a professional basketball player. You're not 8 feet tall, Steve. I've known you for years. You haven't grown any.
You're just finding one way after another to equivocate, Joe, and
I'm not weaseling. I'm saying they shouldn't be allowed to compete. No. I don't think they should be allowed to compete against in women's swimming events. I don't think they should be allowed to compete in women's basketball events. If there were a women's baseball league, I don't think men should be in it. I think if women work long and hard to get this equity, and now we want to take it from them by allowing men to dominate their sports.
Hey, you guys have taken away every other women's rights. I'm sure you'll take this one away too.
Hey, Steve, it's always great to have you here. Thanks so much for coming in, buddy. We argue a lot, but we like each other, actually. He's a nice guy. I'll tell anybody that. Mark Larson will be back tomorrow. I'm Joe McGranahan. Lynn Hall's been our producer. Thanks so much for joining us for On the Mark. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow on WKOK.